With you on a Friday night live here. Praise the Lord. God is good, and we are thanking him for all his blessings today and thanking him for his angels that surround us day by day and protect us in so many situations of life that we don't even know them all. It's amazing grace. That's what I say about it, amazing grace. And we are experiencing it day by day, and God is so good. So here we are, Friday night, the 27th of October, and it's getting close to the devil's high holiday of darkness. And we be sure to cover yourself and your family with the blood of Jesus. I tell you, there's been some attacks that we face, but we are praying and resisting and knowing that they will not prevail. And we've had miracles where they didn't prevail, so thank God for that. And so others that I've heard, I got some sad news from a brother pastor this week that his son, 27-year-old son, passed away this week. I would just request prayer for them. Sad man, he was weeping when he called me and crying, and it was tough. And he talked to Linda. He was crying, talking to her too. And we're so sad to see that. And it just is tragic when things like that happen. And I just don't have words to comfort people like that when they're going through something like that. Other than, you know, I believe he was a Christian son, so praise the Lord. I believe he went to be with Jesus, and that's the only comfort we find in losing him so young like that. But we're going to pray for them and encourage you folks to pray for that pastor and his family as well. Hallelujah. All right. So we're going to open up with some news here tonight as we start out on the broadcast. A personal freedom advance or victory, I say, because Senator J.D. Vance, a Republican, passes with the help of multiple Democrats a Senate amendment to ban federal mask mandates. The amendment restricts any federal funds from being used to enforce mask mandates on airplane flights or any other public type of transportation. So hopefully that will put a stop to the nonsense. It's been proven that the masks don't work, don't protect people. And I still see people wearing masks. Isn't that amazing? But yeah, I still see people wearing masks today. People just don't educate themselves, and they're in fear, and fear controls so many people today. They're just in bondage to these fear devils and afraid of sickness, afraid of dying, afraid of catching something. And hey, yeah, put yourself in the hands of Jesus. That's the only safe place in planet Earth right now, I tell you. There's no other safe place of safety. The elite can get in their bomb shelters and all their little things they want to do, but only Jesus can protect a person. That isn't going to protect them. They'll be consumed themselves. They'll consume their own selves, just like Satan is consuming his own self. You know, after public outcry, Houston Hilton canceled a conference on Palestine, which was to include a number of prominent anti-Israel speakers, including that Representative Rashida Tlaib from Minnesota, who hates the Jews and speaks out evil against them. Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders on the 24th signs executive orders surrounded by women, eliminating woke anti-women words from all government documents in the state of Arkansas. Good for that girl. She is just going after it, I tell you. That girl's taking all kinds of stands for righteousness. We thank God for righteous government. Where it exists today, very few places, but we thank God for it. AP News won't let reporters call Hamas a terrorist organization. Okay, well, you know, Associated Press, they're not one of my favorites anyway. I wouldn't listen to them, but because they're going to be propagandizing people if you listen to them. Nevada teens, Ayala and Keys, accused of killing ex-police chief. They laugh in court, and they flip off the victim's family in the courtroom. That's, they were also charged with attempted murder, failing to stop at a scene of a crash, and battery and burglary and grand larceny of a vehicle and possession of a stolen vehicle. You think these young people have a bunch of demons? Could it be that they have a whole lot of demons? Well, yes, and they're in court laughing at the family and flipping the victim's family off. And, yeah, what do you think? Yeah, there's a lot of people that are loaded with devils today, and if that isn't a psyop, then that guy that killed those people, he's loaded with demons too and has mental issues. If it isn't something planned to get the focus off of Biden and all his illegal things that he's done. And Iranians desecrate the tombs of Mordecai and Esther, and they burned Israeli flags and make it a big scene about that. And because the tombs of Esther and Mordecai are in Iran, Acapulco has been destroyed, according to news reports. Hurricane Otis, blamed for 27 deaths as survivors recover from historic storm, the most powerful storm on record for the Pacific coast of Mexico. So, you know, lots of records have been being set right now with storms and events. Could we be in the last days, do you think? Yeah, a lot of records being set. And so, well, just got to be ready spiritually for things, you know. You got to be wise. And so, yeah, well, you have your eyes open. And this main massacre is used to cover up and hide the Biden family crimes. And also, it's also being used to try to ban gun owners in America and the ARs and different guns that they want to ban. While 40 witnesses say Biden is guilty to the FBI, and the FBI is just basically ignoring those 40 witnesses. Yeah. Well, what do we got here with the World Economic Forum person here? The World Economic Forum, which is a globalist institution of darkness, they are saying that the world water crisis will succeed in establishing a world government where COVID and climate change failed. That's what they said. Someone from the World Economic Forum who says that a coming water crisis will succeed in the establishment of a global government. Well, you know, the Lord can throw all kinds of monkey wrenches into their plans. Hallelujah. And we thank God that they will not prevail the way they think they will, and things will happen. Here's one for you, looking at the Christian front. Drag Queen, new Christian song, instantly hits number 2 on Christian gospel charts. That's right. Christian channels are playing this nonsense, right? Flamey Grant, if you haven't heard of him, he's a drag queen, a transvestite, a man who mockingly dresses as a caricature of a woman, has actually topped the Christian music charts in 2023. And for the second time, his new album, Fortune Teller, by Flamey Grant, that's the name of this singer, is Flamey, F-L-A-M-Y, Flamey Grant. I got a little excerpt from the Perverts number 2 Christian music song. If you want to hear it, I'll just read it. It says, he says, singing, as claiming to be a woman, but he's a man. I'm a prophetess singing my story, addressed with effervescent ethical fraud. But this world ain't ready for an allegory. No, we're still waiting on a literal God. I just smile and nod. Really, you know, that's the garbage Christians are listening to, man. I just really can't stand to listen to K-Love at all myself. I really turn it on because it's just hip-hop type, you know, entertainment type music. But anyway, why do Christian stations want to play that garbage anyway? I don't understand. But, you know, that's the time we live in where there's so much compromise in the churches today, and that's a sad thing to watch go on as well. I don't like it. But anyway, welcome to the broadcast. That's all the news I'm going to share this evening. There's so much more going on in the world and so many different situations and circumstances. We need to pray and pray for our brothers and sisters in the Lord and ask Jesus to show up mightily in people's lives. And so we're just going to go to prayer this evening. Thank you for being here as part of the live broadcast tonight, live church service on the internet and the Blog Talk Radio. And we're just glad to be here with you and praying you be blessed. I have a powerful message, I believe, for people tonight. I believe it'll bless them and encourage you tonight and bring you along on the walk that God has for you and going where Jesus wants you to go. Hallelujah. All right, so let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into God's word here. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for all your blessings, and thank you for your divine protection during this time of year. And thank you, Lord, that we don't want to be having any part of this Halloween season and the season of darkness, the season of the witch, the season of the devil. We don't want any part of that. And Lord, we have chosen to glorify God and to lift up Jesus. And while the world is lifting up darkness and the devil and witchcraft and the occult and all of that, we lift you up, Jesus, and we glorify your name. Thank you for your divine protection and a hedge of protection around each of us during this time, Father. Those that would curse us, those that would fast against the Christians, we just pray it'll come to naught in Jesus' name, and we cancel the assignment of the enemy. No weapon formed against us shall prosper in Jesus' name. We thank you for that, Lord God. And Father, now, Lord, I also want to pray for some people, Lord. We pray for the family of the pastor and the pastor who lost his 27-year-old son this week, Lord. I pray you bring comfort and minister to him at the funeral, which is tomorrow, I believe. And just ask you to minister to this family, Lord, and to encourage both of them, the husband and the wife and the siblings, Father, and all that are involved there that knew this young man, Father, and just minister to them and strengthen them, encourage them. And I want to pray for some other people too, Father, that several that have cancer, that are suffering with life situations, Lord. One of them is not born again, Father, and I had a word for him and gave it to this man who has cancer. Well, someone else gave it to him, but I gave it to them. But and they gave this word to him, and Lord, he actually seemed to receive the word from what I was told. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that this word will not let up on this man, and he will not quit until he gets born again and saved, Father, that he would cry out to the living God, Lord, because the most important thing is salvation, Lord. And Lord, of course, I pray for his healing, Lord, and I pray that he would be healed. But the most important is that this man would be born again, Father, and his wife too, Father. And I pray for several others that have cancer, Lord. In Jesus' name, I ask you to touch them, Lord. This man and two different women as well, another man and two different women that I know of who have cancer, Father. I just rebuke the cancer, Father, and I call health and healing into play for them, into manifestation for their life, Father. In the name of Jesus, we declare by the stripes of Jesus, they are healed and they will live and not die and proclaim the works of the Lord, Father, the word of the Lord. And we thank you for touching them in Jesus' name, Father. And I pray for this wannabe Jewish type person who's just so hooked on the law that I was actually into a deep conversation with him, trying to wake him up out of his stupor, but he wouldn't listen, Lord. So I pray that you convict him about his blindness. He thinks that he has to keep the law, and he thinks that he has to do all these things to make it into eternity. And Lord, I try to tell him that he's deceived, and he starts thinking I'm deceived. But I know that's not the case, because he didn't know who I was. But anyway, I pray for that man to have his eyes open in the name of Jesus, Father. And I thank you for a hedge of protection around each of us as we walk through this time, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom and understanding, Father, and that we would be wise as serpent, gentle as dove, Father, and that we'd walk in the wisdom of God during this season and always, Father. We praise you for that. We praise you for spiritual breakthroughs in our life, Father, in our ministries. And, Lord, that you would lead us in the way that you want each of us to go, and that we would be faithful in doing whatever you have us to do, Father. We thank you for that today also, and pray, Lord, that you would minister to every listener to this broadcast, Father, that you would minister to them and encourage them and strengthen them today. And, Lord, those that are listening live and those that listen later, that you would encourage and minister to them, Father, through this in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. We thank you for the releasing of your anointing here now as I share the word of the Lord, and also in the deliverance time as we go into deliverance a little later in the broadcast. Father, thank you for these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Say thank you, Jesus, folks. All right, forcing the position of reception is the title tonight. And we're going to get into this right now. I hope you're ready. I hope you got your seatbelts on and you're ready for takeoff, because we are going somewhere tonight. Amen. You know, I'm convinced that believers are doing without God's best today in so many cases, so many situations. And the more I look at and meet so many different Christians and talk to them and watch their lives, I'm just so convinced that they're just doing without the best that God has for them, because they've not set themselves to receive God's best. I think really, you know, people need to set themselves to receive God's best if they're ever going to walk in God's best. And the reason churches and people don't have a move of God is because, well, they're not paying the price for a move of God. They're spiritually lazy. They don't read their Bible. They watch too much TV and too many movies, and they focus too much on the world and not too much on Jesus, you know? And so no wonder. I mean, really. I mean, the reason churches and people don't have that move of God is just they're not serious about it, you know? And I'm convinced that God has much more for you and for me even in this life than we have yet tasted of. Okay, I know there's more. But the question, you know, how do we enter into more, and how do we receive these blessings that God wants to give us, because they've already been released from heaven. And I believe there is a key from the Lord for us today, and I want to share these keys with you. But let's start out reading some word here as we go over to Acts chapter 2, and we look at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit initially, and hopefully that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and if you're not, you will be before long anyway. Acts 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. You know, suddenly it came. I think that we need to all be watching for suddenly to come in our lives too, because that's often how the Lord is going to show up. It'll be a suddenly, and I've seen him do it in our churches over the years, that suddenly Jesus showed up, and suddenly this happened in our lives, and suddenly that happened in someone else's life. And so suddenly there came the sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. What a place to be that day, wouldn't you say? Oh, but hey, hopefully we've all had our day of Pentecost too, you know. I know I've had mine, and it was just wonderful. And let's read on here. Verse 41, then they gladly received the word, were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. Now that day, 3,000 people were saved. And this was indeed an outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord. So let's examine some events here that took place to set the stage for this event that took place, this outpouring that took place, that will also set the stage for you to receive your own personal outpouring. How many want a personal outpouring? Amen. And the outpouring in your churches, yeah, that too. So let's look at this, Luke 24:39. Let's go back a few pages to Luke 24. We're going to read some scripture here, Luke 24:39-40. Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and blood and bone, as you see, not blood, but bone, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? Okay. He said he's going to eat something too. You know, what a thing that was there. But notice here, he must first see Jesus, truly see him for who he is. See, a lot of Christians see him through the eyes of religion. They see him through the eyes of somebody else, or they see him through a book or something they read, or they see him through the, watching The Chosen or some movie about God. But no, they need to have a personal encounter with him. They have to see him as he is, because all those things don't really present him fully the way he really is. See? And so you need to see Jesus, truly see Jesus for who he is and know him. And it only comes through revelation knowledge, see? And you need to get that revelation that he is God and that he can do whatever you need done. He can do anything godly, you know, anything according to his word. And in seeing him, you will deal with the sin in your life. Amen? Because, you know, we got to hate the sin in our lives, folks. We can't just continue to entertain a bunch of sin in our lives and think that we're just going to walk, you know, into all the blessings of God. And while we got all this stuff going on that we are willfully indulging in, see? What does it say in Ephesians 5:3-4? But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And we're going to talk about giving of thanks tonight. But we need to put away, you know, that garbage in our lives and get the, however we have to do it, through deliverance, through prayer, through time in the Word, through a lot of times it's just deliverance that a person needs so they can get out of their habitual sin that they're involved in, so they can break the control of that thing over their lives. So, number one, you're going to have to see Jesus, truly see him, okay? Let's go on here. Luke 24:36 here. Let's read some more here. And as they that thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled and why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? What are we seeing here? This is how you're going to have to see him, without fear, guilt, and condemnation. And I tell you, there's a good portion of the body of Christ today that sees him through fear, guilt, and condemnation. I hate to say it, but I've ministered to hundreds of them that have that fear, guilt, and condemnation. They're tormented. They feel like they're being punished. They feel like they've got so much wrong in their lives that they can't even connect with God. See, you've not really seen him until you can come before him free of that fear, guilt, and condemnation. But why is that, Pastor Kyle? Well, because you have not truly believed his word. And until you believe the word, you can't see the word clearly. Okay? And the reason I know you haven't really believed the word, because you're walking around in fear, guilt, and condemnation and all that mental torment, feel like you're going to be punished any moment for your sin. And that is not what the New Testament teaches at all, folks. I'm telling you, that is not the word of God. So you don't believe the word of God, or you can't relate to him properly when you have that kind of mentality in your life. Okay? You're listening to devil more than you're listening to God when you're living that way. All right? I mean, this is serious stuff, folks. You're going to have to move on. You're going to have to grow deeper. You're going to have to come closer, and these things are hindering you. Listen, Jesus bore your punishment on the cross. You're not being punished for your sin. You need to get that through your head. You know, somebody asked me this week, he said, you think there's a hell on earth that people have to go through? Well, if there is, it sure isn't one from God. The devil will put you through hell, but God doesn't put you through hell. There is no such thing as that, okay? And as a believer, you know, if you're thinking that way, your thinking is wrong on things, see? You're thinking that you're going to suffer for your sins when Jesus already suffered for your sins, and that's kind of a slap in the face of God when you think that you have to bear the suffering for your sins and you don't believe that Jesus did it all for you. You're insulting God because what he did on the cross, the Bible says there is no more offering for sin. You know, if you're trying to come in any other way, there's no more offering for sin. There's no more, you know, if you reject that work of on the cross, that punishment that he bore for you, there's no more offering for sin. In Hebrews it says. And what does the word say? Come boldly before the throne of grace. How are you coming boldly before the throne of grace if you have a bunch of fear, guilt, and condemnation in your life all the time and feel it, you're just a big failure, you're just a big mess, and how could you come in boldly? You know, and there's something wrong with you. That's why this gone wrong, that gone wrong. It's all your fault. No, wait a minute, you know. You've got to have to see things according to the word, not according to your interpretation of things. And if you're so afraid of him, you know, something is wrong in the way you see him, because how do you come boldly before a throne of grace if you're so afraid of him? Now, the Bible many times says fear God, but that means a reverence for God, an honor for God. See, when it says fear God here in the New Testament, in most cases, see, not every case. I know there's a couple where it means actual fear, when Christ comes, the world is going to cry out for the rocks to fall on them. But we who are believers, really the true believers, you know, we're supposed to be excited. We're not going to go hide our face from him because we know his blood has cleansed us from all sin and all unrighteousness, and we could come boldly before him. So, we've already seen him and known him in and from the Spirit. So why should we be afraid when we see him come in the clouds of glory if we're still here? See, we need to all come to the knowledge that his sacrifice for our sins was enough. His sacrifice for your sin is enough. He is more than enough. He's more than necessary, folks. So because of that sacrifice, we are pure spiritually. And a lot of people just don't believe the word. You know? You need to quit trying to earn what he's already taken care of and given you. Stop trying to earn it. And when he made us pure, that means pure. That means, you know, the Bible says we're accepted in the beloved, and that means we are accepted now, not later. Now we're accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in the beloved, period. I mean, you don't start adding accepted in the beloved, but if I don't have any sin, but if I haven't messed up this week, but if I don't feel guilt, no, come on, stop that now. You know, that's not according to the word of God. You know, you don't have to talk real fancy or put on spiritual airs, and you sure don't have to be intimidated by shallow, prideful, religious believers who do. He simply accepts you in the beloved. You are his. You belong to him right now just as much as you ever will throughout all eternity. You belong to Jesus. If you're born again, truly born again, if you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, if you've asked him into your heart and had the transformation, the work of the Spirit and becoming a new creation in Christ, then you're just as saved as you're ever going to be right this moment. Look at Ephesians 1:6-7. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. See, it's not according to our works of righteousness, but it's according to the riches of his grace. Yeah, I come boldly before the throne of grace because of the richness of his grace toward me. See, you can do the same. I'm not superior to anybody, okay? So what I can do, you can do. So don't buy into the lie that you're unworthy and you cannot go into his presence. And oh my. Don't say that. Does it say we will have here? No. We have redemption now. So what are you? You are declared righteous. You are declared redeemed, right? He doesn't reject you. You're no longer guilty, right? So remember that. Luke 24:45, let's look at the next one, 24:45, back to Luke 24. This is where we're getting a lot of these four things. We're getting these four things from here that I'm sharing with you. Luke 24. Turning my pages back there. All right, here we are. Luke 24:45 this time. We're going to Luke 24:45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. See, you must have revelation knowledge of the word. You must have a spiritual enlightenment. So you must have the Holy Spirit touching your eyes so you can spiritually understand the things of God, because so many people have the things of God way off base today. This is so important, saints. You can read the word all day long, but until you receive the quickening or the making alive to you of the word by the Holy Spirit, it will not be applicable to you, because it's not real to you, not applicable so you can use it, so you can live in it, so you can experience it. See, this is what the word must become to us, a personally revealed word for your life. It must be alive and living to deal with what we face daily here on earth, and we all face stuff, because there's a devil on this earth, and there's a demonic realm that we all face and we all have to deal with. And it's only by the power of God that we can do it, and we can overcome these wicked things of the enemy. Amen. And we do overcome, because we are overcomers. But it has to be alive and living to you. It has to be alive and living. And if you're not receiving the revelation knowledge of the word to you, then you get before God and ask until he gives it, amen, because you got to have it. So important in your daily life. Okay, the next one, number four, is Luke 24:49. Let's read it, 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Expect the outpouring of the Spirit. It's number four. I mean, we have to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's so important. He told the disciples to wait until Jerusalem till they received the outpouring of the Spirit. Yeah, not every believer has the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they're saved, but how come, you know, you don't take full advantage of everything that's available to you anyway? Jesus said for the disciples to receive it, and why not you and me? You know, why would you not want to receive it, see? So, yeah, the promises have been given, but so many believers have dried up today. They quit expecting. They've given up. They lost that once red-hot white zeal that they had in their lives, that fervor for God. I don't care if it takes 10 years. You don't quit expecting. Man, I'm expecting for a number of things right now. Are you? I'm in expectation that Jesus is going to show up in a lot of ways. Hallelujah. You need to stay full of God and expect his outpouring today. Okay? Expect it. Expect the outpouring of his Spirit. Expect the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why would you not want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Oh, that's so important. So important to have that. And we'll talk more about that in a bit. But here, let's go read something else here in Ephesians 6:13-14. It says here, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and on it goes about the armor of God. So notice there is no time limit on standing. You stand, and having done all, what do? You keep standing. A lot of people have quit standing. They gave up because it seemed like nothing changed or nothing happened. No. It doesn't say that you could quit standing. It just says stand, having done all, stand, and then keep standing. Right? You don't quit standing. We're standing. Right now, we're standing. You stand, and having done all, you keep standing. Okay? But nothing seemed to be happening. Well, hush up that kind of talk. That's just unbelief and fear anyway. Well, it's just not happening. I don't know. You know, there must be something wrong here. You know, well, you're just speaking all kinds of stuff to give the devil permission to attack you. Okay? The power of death and life is in your tongue. And if you start releasing all kinds of devilish garbage with your tongue and fear and unbelief and guilt and condemnation, then you've just opened the door for more attacks on you. Okay? Too many Christians have quit standing. I see them many times in my life. I've seen Christians who are not standing. They're not standing. Maybe they never did stand, but when I see it, they weren't standing. Luke 24, let's read on number 5. Luke 24, verse 52 and 53. It says, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So here's the very extremely important key to getting in the position of reception and taking that position of reception and staying in that position of reception. What if his disciples had gone to Jerusalem and went in and just cried and groaned and mourned and said, well, I wonder if that was really Jesus. Maybe that was a spirit talking to us. I wonder if we could believe anything he said. He's gone now. And, I hate to think what would have happened. Really? Oh, please, God, I'm such a failure. Oh, please, God. But, oh, please, God, I can't quit this sexual sin. I can't quit this masturbation. I can't quit lusting. I can't this. I can't that. No. They were continually praising God and blessing God in the temple. He prays will put you in the position of receiving God's best. Amen? We don't praise God enough. It will put you in a position of receiving his outpouring of grace. Praise will greatly influence a move of God and bring victory to you, your city, your church, and whatever your situation is. Well, think about it. Praise must be used to be successful in spiritual battle. Okay? Praise must be used. Spiritual conflict in which we are daily in, we cannot forget to praise God. The devil's trying to wear out the saints of the Most High in the latter days, the Bible says in Daniel. But if God's people will keep a praise in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, you can prevail against the power of the enemy because the word says you can. And also look out for religion. I'll tell you what, that religious spirit is released in so much of Christianity today. It is having its way with them. Look at Acts 19, 9 and 10 here. It says, but when divers were hardened and believed not, but spoke evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Let's look at this a minute. The school of Tyrannus was a medical school, and they only had school till noon. So Paul found the most available building he could find. School only till noon, right? So he was able to get in there and teach the word and minister all afternoon into the evening, okay? And look at verse 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body were brought into the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Hallelujah. You need some handkerchiefs or aprons today? That's right. Ephesus. They were in the Ephesus, and that's witchcraft city, man. And how you got close to the goddess Diana, or their god, was through sex, and that's why it's so popular. And people came from around the countries to have illicit sex there legally, because sex was how you got that. There were the temple prostitutes, and people were just getting it on, man. And Paul didn't preach against sin there, but preached Jesus. He preached Jesus, see? And so they asked for handkerchiefs for the women and aprons for the men, and they laid them on Paul's body, and then he sent them out, and people were delivered and healed in their body. But here also we see coming to Ephesus, we see these so-called exorcists. Then certain of the vagabond, verse 13, the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus Christ, whom Paul preaches. And there were, you know, these seven sons of Sceva here. But notice vagabond, that means traveling medicine show, really, is basically what that word means. And they were Jews, and what are they doing in Ephesus, okay? The exorcist, that's one who casts out devils by magic formulas or incantation. That's why I don't go around advertising myself as an exorcist, because I'm not. I'm a deliverance minister. I do deliverance and cast out demons, all right, as well as being a pastor for 40 years. But and teaching all manner of things, just like I'm teaching you some things here tonight, not just deliverance, okay? But anyway, they were exorcists, and they were casting out devils, and they said, in the name of Jesus Christ, who Paul preaches. Well, you know, what is that? What is that? You remember the girl who followed Paul and said that these are the servants of the Most High God? So they would think that, well, she was in league with him and them, so that they would look to her when he left town, and then her handlers would all get rich by using her to speak things that were supposedly in league with Paul. But and Paul turned around and cast the devils out of this woman, though, and all her handlers were all upset and brought up a big trouble there, too. So that's another story, too. Okay? But look, verse 13, reading on about the vagabond Jews here, the exorcists, they took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Okay, and the man in whom the spirit was in leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And I've certainly seen the power of demons that it took six men to hold them down before. Okay, so that's no problem for this man full of devil to overcome those seven sons of Sceva very easily. Okay, and by the way, what does it say here? Had the evil spirit, we adjure you, that word adjure. Let me just tell you what that is. A verb form for exorcist, and it means to make sure the demons knew, you know, what Jesus, the one whom Paul preaches. Well, don't tell me that demons don't infiltrate religion today. You know, their father was a chief priest, and they were the Jews, right? And they believed in God and all that. And yet, Luke mentions Sceva's name for a reason, okay? Because Luke is the one that wrote the book of Acts, remember? And perhaps because Luke knew Sceva, perhaps, okay? And so we see some of them priests and Pharisees. If we go back to Luke 11, 14, and 15, let's just jump back there real quick. I'm kind of jumping around a little bit here, but we got to get this and understand this. Luke 11, 14, and 15. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spoke, and the people wondered. But some of them said he casted out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. See, that's what they said about Jesus, see. You remember that? And some of them priests and Pharisees, look at verse 16, and others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven, but he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, see, Jesus knew their thoughts, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against the house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. Hey, when we bring in deliverance, the kingdom of God has come upon you. That's right. Come upon the situation. That's something to gather from that as well. But anyway, Jesus speaking face to face with Sceva, and Luke was there, okay? And back to Acts 19, it says, who are you? You're nobody. See, the devils didn't know them. He didn't recognize them. They didn't have any authority to cast out the devils, right? And the demon said, who are you? You're nobody. See, with Jesus, we're not any match for devils, okay, without Jesus. See, those are on his own team. See, he didn't know them, but he knew Jesus. When Jesus cast out devils, they knew Jesus was. They responded to him. But when they tried to cast them out, these seven sons of Sceva, doesn't matter that they were religious Jews, it said, who are you, the demon said. You know? Who are you? You're on our team. You're not even anointed of God. And they leaped on those seven men. Well, in a struggle, he overcame them. And they ran out naked. I mean, this is, look at that. And look at verse 17 in Acts here. And this was known to all the Jews of the Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And what happened? Yeah, we see a big thing happening here. You know, and this is what needs to be happening right now in the churches today. Okay? Because this is the work of angels, and they went, and the Holy Spirit bringing the word out there. You know, the devil's like the roadrunner and the wolf, you know. And here we see verse 18. What happened? A bunch of Christians, many that believed, came and confessed and showed their deeds. In other words, they've been doing deeds. They weren't going all the way with God. They've been doing stuff that wasn't right. Many of them also would kind of use curious arts, brought their books together, and burned them before all men, and all the and they counted the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. Wow, that's what happened? Just because of this whole little ordeal with the seven sons of Sceva coming in and the devil chasing them and beating them and all that? Yeah, lukewarm, carnal Christians, people that hold on to occult stuff and the old music from the world, holding on to CDs and whatever from the world, and it's eating them up, holding on to bad video DVDs and Blu-rays and all that. Yeah, they're getting hit with a Blu-ray, all right, the Blu-ray of the enemy. Yeah, Halloween costumes, really having get-togethers on Halloween in their churches and manifesting things and wearing costumes and doing just what the world does. What happened? When they got rid of all this occult stuff, something mighty happened. What happened to verse 20? So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Hallelujah. See, if you get rid of your occult stuff, if you get rid of your compromise, if you get rid of these things that are holding your life back and let go of them and let the Holy Spirit change you in these areas, then hallelujah, the word will come forth. The word comes forth. Yeah. After a move of God, the word will spread. Jesus will spread, see? You can't remain in a perpetual revival, but you can remain in the word, right? So, because revivals come and go, renewals come and go throughout the decades and through the years, but the word remains always, see? Always. And you can read chapter 20 and understand what I'm saying. But often we don't realize revival doesn't come by just exposing Satan, but by presenting the grace of God as well. Granted, when God's grace is presented, the move of God can take place. When it's done properly, according to the word. Amen. So look at that. Look what happened. Christians need to get rid of some stuff. People need to go through their houses and check it out. See what's in there. Is there something they need to get rid of? Is there something that's holding them back? Have they anointed their house with oil lately? Sometimes you have to anoint a house 3 or 4 times before you cleanse that house. Sometimes you need to do it regularly over a period of time to keep the ground that you gained by anointing your house with oil. And driving out everything and consecrating that house to Jesus. You say, I consecrate this house to Jesus, cover it with the blood of Jesus, loose the mighty angels of God to drive out any spirits that are lingering in this house, in this place, wherever you are, wherever you live. Do it. But remember, praise and worship set the stage for 3,000 people to be saved on the day of Pentecost. There was a minister in South America, Omar Cabrera, was a pastor of a group of spirit-filled churches in Argentina of over 140,000 members. He was asked the secret of growth to his evangelistic crusades, and he said, well, he goes into a town 2 weeks before the crusade, and he prays and fasts, and he does spiritual work there. And he often has seen angels as they do battle with the demons in those areas. As he, before he holds his big crusade, that people get saved and delivered him. The problem with us is often in the area of persistence. We get tired, we get weary in the flesh, and apathy and complacency sets into our lives. It's, you know, we just have to be like somebody who just, you know, been running a long race. I mean, we just plod on and on day after day after day because we're running the race for the prize that is set before us. And we don't, you know, if we try to do a sprint, we fall out of the race. I mean, I'm just too tired. I don't feel like it today, man. I got all these things to do. I don't have time for Jesus. And I'm all afraid right now anyway, and I feel so condemned, and there's so much wrong in my life. He probably wouldn't want to spend any time with me anyway, and that's just the lies of the devil. Believe in the lies of the devil. Why you want to listen to that garbage? You got to rebuke that stuff, saints. Spirits over families and cities and individuals are not dislodged and defeated by 5 minutes at the altar on Sunday morning, okay? I remember visiting some Assemblies of God churches years ago, and they would, every week, and particular one that I went several times to, they would come to the altar every Sunday, spend about 2 or 3 minutes, and go back, and the pastor would call them up every week, and they'd say their little prayers, and they think that had them good for the week, but no, they were all so messed up. If you listen to their testimony, how the devil's beating them up, and how this is going wrong, and that's going wrong, and all that stuff, so really, they were not having any personal time hardly with God. They think this little minute at the altar or two at the altar, folks, this is war, saints. This is war. Amen. War is usually a combination of many battles and skirmishes, and there are many of them. And the winner doesn't always win every little battle. How many know Hitler won a lot of the battles in World War II? But the winner does win more than he loses, and he also wins the war as a whole. So, people, listen, if you've lost a few, don't get out of the fight. Don't get weary, discouraged, and think you're worthless and something wrong with you and say I'm a loser and settle for things as they are. No, 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 no. You've done just what the devil wants then if you do that. No, no. We just keep on, saints. We don't quit. We go on. And we continue to fight because, after all, we're fighting from a position of victory. God has us seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now in him. Hello? Amen. Oh, man. Let me give you a secret to victory. All of you need to pray in tongues more. I said all of us need to pray in the Spirit more. I mean, how do you think Paul received so much revelation knowledge? How do you think he did? What does it say in 1 Corinthians 14:18? He said, I pray in tongues more than you all. Revelation comes more freely when you pray in the Spirit. Okay, you get new creative ideas from the Spirit. You get pure life flows freely into you, and you get understanding of things. I mean, praying in the Spirit brings you to a position in the Spirit where spiritual truth will flow to you freely. And you don't get there by five or little kumbala la ba so, you know, no, no, no. You pray in the Spirit until you start receiving some breakthrough or you sense a real spiritual breaking through into the spiritual realms of glory of God. And you will too, I guarantee you. I've done it many times. Just kept on praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues. And things would come through and things would flow. You know, and praise and worship and warring in the Spirit, it binds the enemy, folks. Binds the enemy. What, remember King Jehoshaphat? You know, we're going to battle today. Oh, well, what weapons do we need, King? Well, get the praisers out. What about the special forces? What about the Rambo, the tough guys? Leave them in the back row. What? Oh, whoever fought a battle like that, anyway, leave them in the back row. Hey, the praisers are the special forces. We won't be needing those others today. Get the orchestra of praise. Get those singers and dancers, and let's go worship the Lord. Put them before the army. We'll be destroyed, King. No, we won't. We have the revelation knowledge from God, and we know the best of the story and the rest of the story. The Lord has set ambushments against them. He said, you don't even need to fight in this battle. Hey, see, some of you, you know, you've accepted the devil's defeat and his lies and areas of your life, and perhaps in your church and in your city. And hey, it didn't come overnight either. The devil is a subtle thing, you know. He has slipped it in little by little by little, year after year after year. He takes the life out of you. He sucks the life. He sucks the zeal. He sucks the fire out of you. He's called you to accept lies instead of truth, sneaking in over even years of time. We need to wake up, saints. You're children of the Most High God. What Jesus did yesterday, he'll do today and more so. You got to remember that he is a faithful God. Forget this microwave business and turn on the oven. It takes time to cook up a good meal, folks. What if you just said, well, 5 minutes are up in the casserole, it isn't done. Might as well turn that oven off, you know. Hey, you'd never receive the pleasant sound, good tasting finished product. See, and a lot of saints are giving up right before the blessing comes. They give up because it's been too hard. The road's been so hard. Yes, I know. I've passed it a long time. The road is hard. I know the road is hard. I know there are tough times. I know that we all face them, and I know that the enemy wants to take you out of the fight any way he can. And if he can get you into discouragement and despair and depression, he will keep you in that place. And he is just laughing with glee, see? But you got to wake up. You're the children of the Most High God. Remember that? Thank God has some things for you that you've not yet tasted of. He's not done yet. You're still breathing. You're still sucking air. He has things for you. But you've got to get out. You've got to get out of the position of not receiving and get into the position of reception, folks. Time to get back to what God has for you. He loves you. He has a good and perfect thing for your life. And your situation isn't too hard for God, see? Your situation isn't too hard for the Lord. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. In fact, the Bible says so. Let's get into the right place with Jesus. Number one, seeing Jesus. Number two, seeing without fear and guilt and condemnation. Number three, getting revelation knowledge. Number four, expecting results. And number five, praise and worship him. You need to start seeking him more, saints. Realize you've been chosen or you wouldn't want more. Amen. You wouldn't want it if you weren't chosen by God. And how many know that many are called but few are chosen? But I'm telling you, you wouldn't be listening tonight if you weren't chosen. You wouldn't be here wasting 2 hours of your time if you weren't chosen by God. 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Think about that for a moment. Let's just talk about that. Above all, he said, notice, have you been faithful? A steward must be found faithful. Start being faithful to him. Don't cheat on God, in other words, you know. You need to be faithful to your lover. God is your lover. God is the husband. God is the one that we're connected to and joined to in one spirit. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit, and we are joined to the Lord just like you're joined to your husband or wife in the flesh. We're joined to the Lord in the spirit, okay? And so we need to be faithful. We must never leave faithfulness behind. We are the called and the chosen, and not everybody takes their walk with God that seriously. Let's not be unfaithful to him. Yeah, the temptations and the darkness is all around us today, but we can live in the light in spite of what is around us. We can live in the victory in spite of what is around us. You don't have to be as so many who succumb to the darkness today. Just stay in the light. Yeah. In your light, we shall find light. In God's light, we shall find light. So many have lost so much. They've not just lost it, they've given it up. But God is the restorer of that which we have lost. If you will let him restore that which you have lost, he will restore that which you have lost. Amen? Amen. The devil steals, kills, and destroys. God heals, delivers, and restores. Amen? But the devil steals, kills, and destroys. But God heals, delivers, and restores. You've got to remember that. Will you let him do that for you? He can and he will, but we're going to have to resist the devil, not stay in bed with him all the time. You know? Yeah. The devil will flee. Those who resist it in their God-given biblical authority, and really, we can't get through these last days without effective resistance of the devil, really, and getting them out and casting them out and getting them, those devils out there and the ones that are still attached to us as well. Now, the war continued, but the good news is that we have won the war. We are the victors in Christ. Jesus defeated Satan and made a public show of him, going down and triumphing over him in the low parts of the earth. Yeah, people right now, even Christians, they're caught up in the season of witchcraft, in the season of horror, in the season of nightmares. Yeah, they're glorying in darkness. They're glorying in the wickedness of this age, of this time, and of Satan's high day, of Satan's dark days. They're glorying in it all. And we need to glory in Christ, folks. We don't need to be a partaker of Satan's high, dark, holy day of darkness. We don't need to dress up in ungodly costumes or even Christian costumes. We don't need to have any part of that, okay? Yeah, but they're caught up in it, in the horror, the fear, the darkness, the witchcraft. Even Christians partaking of Halloween in some manner, giving out candy is not innocent. Any participation can bring a person under the curse, even a church costume party or a harvest festival on that day. I participate in no manner, and our church has never had any special events for Halloween. And we need to be wise in these latter days, lest we become snared by the devices of darkness out there. And there are many devices, and Satan is after you. He's after the church, and there's too much compromise going on in the church by the people who claim to be Christians. See, it's not a time for compromise. It's a time to be faithful. It's a time to have a holy determination in your life, saints. A determination to walk as a true, bold believer in Jesus right now. I want you to quit being controlled and intimidated by what other people, even so-called Christians, think about you. Don't let people, intimidate you. Don't let the spirit that's in them, that's usually what it is when you're intimidated. It's the spirits in them that are doing a work on you, see? You're intimidated by them. Will you let others control your walk with God, really? Oh, I know that a lot of Christians do. A lot of ministers do out there because they're afraid of the people. They're afraid of their faces. They're afraid of losing them or losing their tithes, their offerings, or whatever. Too many were intimidated by the pressures of society about the vaccines. I know of Christians who did give in, and I know that some of them are dead today. Some of them are with Jesus. Some of them are having health problems today, but they could have been still here. Others are suffering health problems that are very serious today. People have believed lies and have fallen by embracing the lies. Even if it sounds good, don't embrace it. It's still a lie. You know, the devil knows how to bait you. He knows how to put a little worm on that hook to get you with. Oh, but we're supposed to obey our leaders, our government leaders. Oh, really? Do you obey someone who's led and directed by Satan? Really? No, we don't. We obey righteous government, yeah, but we don't have that right now. We don't obey when we are directed to put our life in jeopardy because the globalist agenda wants to reduce the world population by killing off a bunch of us. So they provide a pandemic to weaken and kill the human body. Or they want you to eat bugs or bioengineered food or connect you to AI. Listen, there's something wrong with that stuff, man. We're not to obey Antichrist spirits, and there are a lot of Antichrists in the world. According to the scripture in 1 John, it says there are many Antichrists in the world, and they're trying to manipulate the people of God, control the people of God, and kill the people of God. And these spirits hate God, and they lead people to destruction and death. I mean, this is like obeying Satan. Oh, Romans 13, all these Christians say, I got to obey the government. No, you don't obey the devil. Okay? You obey righteous government. Why would the word contradict itself? It doesn't. It says the righteous mourn when the wicked rule. They don't want the wicked to rule, and they rejoice when the wicked are gone. You obey Satan, whatever he tells you? Who do you think is heading the puppets under, you know, of this administration and many other of the governments in the world today? You know, is Joe Biden and his administration being led by the Holy Spirit, or is it being led by a satanic devil? I mean, look at the fruit, saints. Do you see any fruit of the Holy Spirit there, or do you see the fruit of devils there? I mean, this ought to be something you should just easily recognize. It shouldn't have to be caught in churches, but they're still counting on, oh, just obey, whatever. You know, it's the administration of God. No, God doesn't put that there. God didn't put the devil in charge. No. The devil put people in charge. He's the God of this world. Now, God has put certain governments in at times in this world, and we should obey righteous government. But it's an administration of death right now. So you got to ask yourself, is it administration of death or is it administration of life? Remember, Jesus said to hate evil, not obey it and get in bed with it. You know, God has come to bring life and life, abundant life, not death. You know, and you think that God killed this brother, pastor's son this week? No, God didn't kill. You know, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He didn't kill him in his 20s. You know, the devil did that. You know, and people, they lose loved ones, and they want to say, oh, God took them home. You know, God had to take them. He needed more in heaven than we need them there. You know, and stupid stuff like that. Really? The devil is bringing death on planet Earth. Christians are dying out of ignorance. Christians are dying for many reasons. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. How many of you want to prosper and be in health? The Bible says in 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou wouldest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospered. Well, then, in order to prosper and be in health, I want to give you an important key here. You're going to have to believe and understand that only good and perfect gifts come down from heaven. Only good and perfect gifts come down from heaven. Right? Not a defeated, confused, beaten down, or lacking day. That doesn't come down from heaven in the new covenant. It doesn't come down from God. Now, God never sends sickness or disease or poverty on his people under the new covenant. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly in John 10:10. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you're living in fear every day, you're living under the devil's area, because God is not putting that fear on you. Everything received from heaven will be good and perfect for our best. See, God has your best in mind. He doesn't have your worst. You don't believe that? Well, for God to do otherwise would be for him to contradict his very own word. You think God's in the business of contradicting his word? You think God lies? God is not a man that he should lie. He said in his word. James 1:16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. See, why do you think that he tells us here not to err? Because many have erred. In this area right here that I'm talking about, they've erred. Okay? Many have erred, and they're in error right now, and they're mad at God, and they're blaming him, and they're living in fear and torment and guilt and all these things for what God didn't do. And religious Christians make people, I mean, religious spirits are making people err today. And look at what the next verse is. He's telling you here, do not err, my beloved brethren. And then he tells you, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's not changing. He says, I am the Lord. I change not. The only thing changed from the Old Testament, New Testament, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses. We have seen him change in his relationship with mankind. He lives inside of us now. And he lived on the outside of people under the old covenant, see? And it was a covenant of death, it says in 2 Corinthians, that it was a covenant not of life. But now we have a covenant of life, see? And so he's changed the way he deals with us if you're born again. Hallelujah. Thank God for being born again. Amen. So God has prepared only one kind of life for us, and that is the abundant life. If you're living in a beat down, barely get by, poverty ridden, sick and defeated and fearful all the time lifestyle, then that is not what God has prepared for you. Okay? It's what the devil did. Prepared for you. It could be a curse. It could be a curse of poverty. It could be a curse of ignorance, a curse of refusing to believe the word of God and infirmity spirits, whatever. But Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That is his nature. That is what he does. That is what's causing your life to be in difficulty, you know, the poverty, defeat, lack, sickness, death. Does it fit under steal, kill, and destroy? Well, where does it come from then? Does it come from Jesus? It doesn't, saints. But the sad thing is people get what they believe they'll get. And if you're expecting never to get well, never to get ahead, that you won't have enough food to go through the end times, that you're going to die, this is going to happen to you, you're going to get this sickness, this pandemic or whatever, then guess what? You will. And some of us need to reprogram our computers. We doubt that God truly wants to give us the abundant life. We doubt truly that he's given us the abundant life. We live in doubt, fear, and unbelief today, see? And it's hindering us. What is the abundant life of God? What is it? Well, I'm going to tell you what one of the things that it is Romans 8:2. And if you don't get Romans 8:2, then you haven't got a big part of the gospel, the good news, see? So that's so important that you understand what happened in Romans 8:2. Has already happened. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. I'm free from the law of sin and life, of death. Law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life. So you're free from the law of sin and death. This is the place of sickness, poverty, and defeat. And you should be living in the Spirit now. And there's life in the Spirit, not death in the Spirit. Quit living in the law of sin and death. Accept and receive your freedom. Like he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life is not death. See? I'm the way, the truth, the life. The way, the truth, the life. Life is not death. Death is not life. And he said, abide in him. That's very important. That's a very important key to living the abundant life. He said, if you abide in me, well, let's just read it, John 15:7. Let's remind ourselves of this. You know, you got to remind yourself of this. You know, if you don't, keep on hearing. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word. You keep hearing it over and over. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Shall be. That's it might be. If you abide in him. If you abide in him and my words abide in you. See, that's the problem with a lot of Christians. They may be born again, but his word is not abiding. They don't even know his word. If these Christian music stations knew the word, they wouldn't have Flamey up there hit number two in the Christian music charts. Come on, Flamey, a transvestite, a man who's trying to be a woman. You know, he wouldn't be making a second place on the charts. In fact, these Christian music stations like Caleb, they won't even speak out against sin. They won't speak out against the darkness in the world. They won't speak out against and warn Christians about the trouble and that people are going to hell. What's wrong here? Something's wrong. Compromise is taking place. See, most believers, the word of God does not abide in them like it should. How can you tell? Well, when you get in a situation, what comes up? Your own natural thinking or what the word says about it immediately? Instead of a word, we try to work it out or cry out, God, get me out of this. I got myself in this mess. How do I get out of here? Get me out of here. If his word was abiding in you, the Spirit would bring his word for the situation. That's right. You seek God until you have it. That's what it says in Matthew 7. Let's go read that one. I'll tell you. A lot of people think, well, if I pray more than once, then I'm in sin or I'm in unbelief. That's not what the word says. It says in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So you don't quit knocking. That's multiple knocking. You knock until you receive. You seek until you have it. You ask and knock until you get it. See, you get rid of that false teaching of the Word of Faith movement that says only ask God once and never bring it up again or you're in unbelief. Well, you know, if you're out in the field looking for a piece of gold, you look until you find it. Same with God. You seek until you find. You ask until you're given. You knock until the door opens. Remember Jacob, he wrestled with God, or some say an angel, until God blessed him. He said, well, I will not let go until you bless me. Is that giving up and quitting because he fought a little bit or wrestled a little bit? Well, I wrestled a little bit. I can't do any more because that would be unbelief. Really, folks? I mean, does that make sense? This is the way we receive from God. You know, people don't seek God long enough. Do it diligently. You can't be a casual type of Christian who just, you know, just attend church on Sunday and hope something good will happen in your life. See, in God, there is no wondering. You either must know or be in unbelief, and you just don't know. There's no in-between, you know. Whatever you do it in faith, the Word of God says. We do it in faith. If it's not of faith, it's of sin, the Bible says. So you either know Jesus is your healer and deliverer, or you don't know. You don't believe it, in other words. You say you believe it, but you don't believe it by your actions. There's no proof in what you're doing in your life. There's no proof in the way you live. Wondering is doubt. A lot of people are just wondering if they're going to make it, and wondering if they're going to get cancer, wondering if they're going to die. You know, but wondering is doubt, and doubt is unbelief and disbelief. A lot of people just live in a land of wondering what's going to happen tomorrow. Will I get sick? Will I lose my job? Will I fail? Will I be a failure? Will I die? Will I be poor? Wondering is a land of fear, folks. I'm going to tell you, if you're living in wondering, you're living in a land of fear, in a land of access by evil spirits. He can access you when you're living in the wondering land. We're not living in a wondering land. We're living in God's kingdom. The kingdom of God is in us and is in manifestation. Why are we wondering? Why are we wondering about this and that? That is unbelief. That is fear. That's putting yourself in the enemy's sights. You're his target. He got getting to you. See, saints, listen, God does not work through wondering. You need to make up your mind. You need to make up your mind, okay, to believe God. And your spirit, you need to set it like a flint, you know, like the Word of God said. Look over James 1. I'm running out of time. I could go on and on here, but James 1:6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. See how this is so serious here. So serious. And then read 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So what's going on here? You need to make up your mind to believe or doubt. Either way, what are you going to do? Either what God says is the truth or it's a lie. Quit wondering. Why don't you begin to trust him for his word and let his spirit show you the abundant life and begin to step into that and what God has for you, even in the midst of famine. Isaac sowed in famine and he reaped a hundredfold. There was famine in the land. There's famine in our land. There's trouble in our land. There's wars in the earth and rumors of wars. And we may be facing World War III, but God can take care of his people. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow in the shadow of his wings shall I trust, whatever. Anyway, I don't remember. I'm quoting from my mind. But this will help you to overcome. I want to share this in closing. Where do you think trials and temptation come from? You know, this is a lot of Christians are confused. The trial you're going from, is it from God or from the devil? What did I just read? God tempteth no man. Did I just read that to you in James 1:13? Said, all right. See, God doesn't make you go through trials and tests. The Greek word here is to test you in order to break you, something destructive. Satan does this, okay? See, we see in verse 2, temptation is a trying of your faith. As we endure the temptation from Satan, which is the trying of our faith, a trial of you will then we have the patience worked in us, which brings us to maturity, see? Perfect, mature completeness. Look here, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. See? See, Satan is called the tempter, the trier. God doesn't do it, but he allows it, and by it, that is, by us going through it, he approves us and rewards us. See? See, if you believe it's from God, then you will, you know, you're going to have doubts. You're going to doubt whether he really wants you to live the abundant life. You'll doubt whether, you know, only good, every good and perfect gift comes down from above. You'll begin to say, God put me through all this, you know, and you think, God put me through hell on earth, so to speak, you know. You know, no, that's not. The devil is. The devil will try to put you through all kinds of stuff if you let him. See? But if God is also a tempter or a trier, then he would be joining Satan in what Satan is doing. And God is not joining the devil in anything that he's doing, okay? Think about that. So we see now great liberty in realizing that God isn't putting us through fiery trials, but the enemy is. And God has the abundant life for you. If you want it, it is there for you to receive and to take. In fact, the Bible said the violent take the kingdom by force, because the enemy is in the way of you taking the kingdom. And it is our choice. If we don't choose it, you know, we're going to have to seek for it. See? If we do choose it. But if we don't choose it, we won't have it. We need to press into it by forcefulness and determination, with a holy determination and a holy forcefulness. You know, that's what the Spirit of God would have. See? This is what we're going to have to do. If we want to partake of his abundant life, we must take what is ours. He's already given us the kingdom. He's already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But if you don't take it, you won't walk in it. You won't walk in that. And the devil will keep on messing with you. You'll keep living in fear and condemnation, high anxiety, stress all the time, letting everything bother you. We got to give things to the Lord just over and over and over. I told that to one person. I said, I have to give something to God sometimes, you know, 50, 100 times. I keep giving it to him until I know that it's truly released. I said, well, I never heard that. I never even knew that. You know, they thought, you know, he tried to cast his care on the Lord and he could never really give it to the Lord. Well, that's why, you know, we keep on casting it on the Lord until he really has it and we don't have it anymore and we know it and there's a release that takes place and we don't have to be burdened with it anymore. We don't have to be in despair about it. We don't have to be troubled about it. We don't have to be worried and in anxiety. No, we have cast our care on the Lord. If it takes 50 times, if it takes 100 times of sitting there casting that care on the Lord until you have that relief, keep doing it. And if it tries to come back, do it again. Amen. Just like it delivered, you keep on until the devil is gone. You keep on until that care has been cast on the Lord. Amen. The Bible said the violent take the kingdom by force, the word said. That's right. To determine, take what God has given, and we'll not be denied by Satan, see. Okay, and the devil trying to stop it. He's trying to stop you, but we will not let him stop us from taking what is ours and what's already been given to us. It's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. You've got to remember. So when are you going to start? Well, I just don't have any time for that. Well, you start taking time now. Take it. Take it by force. God has time for you to be in the Word. God has time for you to spend praying in tongues. God has time for you to pray and spend time praying and spend time reading the Word, spend time with Jesus, just sitting in the quiet and listening to him for the still, small voice. God has time for you to get in the book of Psalms and encourage yourself. David encouraged himself in the Lord. You need to encourage yourself in the Lord instead of getting all down and beat up by the devil all the time and living in high anxiety and stressed out over this society we live in and the wickedness that is being done in the earth and the darkness that surrounds us. But we are living in the light. And the Bible said we're going to grow brighter and brighter until the full day. The church is going to shine brighter and brighter, probably because they're getting darker and darker too, you know. Amen. But we shall shine brighter and brighter. I do believe he's enlightening his people who are hungry for him. And I believe there's much more of God for each one of us. And I believe deliverance is part of what he has for us. And we're going to get some here in a minute. Amen? But there's so many other things that I could teach you about the Word of God, so I have to put in some other stuff besides just deliverance and spiritual warfare, although deliverance and spiritual warfare fits with most everything. Most everything that I do teach, you know, can be fit. You can fit in deliverance and warfare because, you know, that's part of Christianity. And yet so many churches are leaving it out. So many Christians are leaving out the deliverance part. They're leaving out the spiritual warfare part. They're doing without, too, and they're suffering for it. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I better stop here. Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for everything that your spirit spoke through me tonight, Father. Thank you for the quickening to those who have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to them through this word that you spoke, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for quickening what needs to be quickened. And, Father, making it alive is what quickening means, to make alive, Lord. And you made it alive where what needed to be made alive was made alive, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to live in fear. You didn't give the spirit of fear. We know who did. And there's no point in us partaking of that spirit of fear. But we need to partake of a power, love, and a sound mind instead, because that's what you give. You've given power, love, and a sound mind. And we take that sound mind. We have the mind of Christ right now, Lord. Teach us all to live from the mind of Christ. Don't let us be like that pastor that I asked, do you know what it means to have the mind of Christ? And he couldn't explain that to me. Couldn't. After many years of ministry, I asked him that question. What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? Even though I kind of knew what it already meant, but I want to see what he knew about it. And he didn't know nothing. He couldn't answer it. Lord, have mercy. He knows now. But, wow. Lord, we thank you for the mind of Christ. Thank you that we can think from it, live from it, function from it. And Lord, sometimes our old carnal natural mind tries to take over and give us the wrong direction, wrong instructions. And Lord, surely we're sorry for yielding to that. We turn from that, Lord. We reject that. And Father, forgive us for listening to the natural mind so many times instead of hearing the still small voice, Lord. But Lord, you redeem situations and work them out. When we do, Lord, and I thank you that you're a good God that cures, and you give us another chance and another chance and another chance, and then and continue to just bless us in spite of ourselves, Lord. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you. You're so good to us all. We thank you for it. We thank you for equipping us, Lord, for all that we need for these latter days, that we're going to make it in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we give you the glory for it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we want to exalt Jesus tonight. Don't forget to praise him. We're going to take a few minutes here and have a song, and then we'll be back. We'll get up, move around, and then we're going to get back and do some deliverance for a little while. Okay? And then we'll be out of time for the broadcast tonight for the time. All right. Some spirits out tonight. First, I just want to say we did finish the newsletter for November, December, and it'll be going out next week. So just want to let you know that we did not produce one for the last, we put them out every 2 months, so we didn't do one for the last 2 months. So we did get this one done. So just those who want one who don't normally get it, if you're on the list already and did them, you will receive one. But if you're not on the list, you can email me at theoasis1@localnet.com, theoasis1@localnet.com, and we will get you one when they go out sometime next week. All right, so let's go ahead and deal with some spirits here tonight. What I'm sensing to, I'm going to deal with having a sense of hopelessness and feeling like it's just hopeless, that it's just hasn't got better for you for a long time, and you're feeling hopeless. The spirit of hopelessness has moved in, and we just rebuke that spirit of hopelessness today. Right now, command it to come out in Jesus' name. Come out of there, all the way out. In Jesus' name, we cover us all with the blood of Jesus right now, and thank you that these spirits have to obey when they're spoken to. As long as the person wants them out, they have to go, and they truly want them out, and they're truly determined to get them out, then these spirits have to go. Now, come out of there right now. They come out through coughing, sighing, burping, yawning, spitting, screaming, all the way out of there. Go, 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 go. Hop out of there. Come out. Come out, come out. The spirit, the hopelessness have tried to move in on you. Come out, come out. Things will never change. Things are always going to be this way. Hopeless spirit, come out. Come out, 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 come out. Come out of there, all the way out of there. All that hopelessness, move, 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 up and out, out. Come out, 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 come out of there, up and out, all the way out. All the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. All the way. Come out, come out, come out. All the spirit of hopelessness that come in and try to just make you feel hopeless about situations, hopeless about your life, hopeless about changes taking place. Hopeless. Yeah, come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. This spirit is, it's your fault. It's always peering in your mind. It's your fault. It's your fault this happened. It's your fault. Come out. That spirit is your fault. The devil is always telling you in your mind, it's all your fault. It's all your fault. Come out. 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 God wouldn't do that, okay? God doesn't do that. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin, even if it was your fault. But the devils come, and they just come on in your mind, and they say, oh, your fault. Your fault. Look at what you did. Your fault. Your fault. It's all your fault this happened. It's all your fault they did that. It's all your fault because you weren't this or you weren't that or you did this or you said that or whatever. It's all your fault. Come out. All that spirit is your fault. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name, you gotta go. You gotta go all the way out. All the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Keep coming out. Keep coming out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out. Come out, 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 come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Go, broken heart spirit. Come out. If broken hearted, you just got broken hearted by something. Now you're feeling broken hearted about it. Come out troubled about it or broken hearted about it. It hurts so much. Come out of there. All that broken heartedness. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Brokenheartedness. Come out, 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 come out. All that brokenhearted spirit, go, 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 all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Brokenheartedness. Come out. Brokenheartedness. Come out, 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 out of there. All the way out. All that brokenheartedness, some horrible thing happened and you, something hurt you so bad. All that brokenheartedness, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out right now. All the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, we command any spirit of witchcraft, confusion and witchcraft to come out right now. Right now, there's a lot of witchcraft going on and fasting and praying against Christians. And if there's any confusion in the mind and witchcraft, come out, all the way out, all the way out. Come out, come out. If any curses are being put on you, we break hexes, vexes, spells, and jinxes and curses and word curses that have been spoken over you. Anybody, you know, my wife got here, she was praying that somebody got a picture and they were cursing us through the picture. So we break it. We have broken that. And it may be that people have that, that people have a picture of you, and they're using a picture to curse you. So we break any curses that have been put from a picture that someone has of you. We break those curses right now in the name of Jesus. Cancel them. Send them back where they came from in the name of Jesus. We break those curses from people having pictures of you, and they don't like you. You may not even know they don't like you, or they may have ought against you, or they may be cursing you or speaking things over you, even Christian charismatic witchcraft going on. They may be Christian, but they're cursing you still, saying things over you. Come out, go, 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 all of that witchcraft, go, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. We cancel those assignments. In Jesus' name, from Satan, we cancel them. In the name of Jesus, we cancel any charismatic witchcraft, any spirit, religious witchcraft. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All confusion, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. And spirits causing accidents, come out of people. We break that curse. They're trying to cause people to have accidents now. Come out, 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 come out of there, all the way out. Spirits causing accidents, come out right now. Spirits causing accidents, witchcraft causing accidents. Go, 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 go. All the way out, all the way out, in Jesus' name, all the way out of there. Go, 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 keep going, all the way out, all the way out, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Go, 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 come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out, in Jesus' name, keep going. Yeah, all the way out. Spirit of lies, you come out. The spirit's been lying to you. Come out. Spirit of a lie, come out. All that lie, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. In some area you've been lied to, and you've kind of been struggling with believing it or not believing it, you come out of there. The spirit of the lie, the lying spirit sent to try to make you believe a lie, come out. We break that curse. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus right now. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out of there. All the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Right now. Up and out. All the way. In Jesus' name. All the way up out of there. Go, all the way out. Spirits of insomnia, keeping people awake when they should be sleeping. Now, sometimes God will wake you up in the middle of the night if he wants you to pray for something. And the Spirit of God, if you're willing and you want to obey God and do anything he wants you to do, then sometimes he wakes you up and have you pray for something. Other times it's just demonic. Other times it's your body has some problems, that cause you not to be able to get a good night's sleep. So there are some natural herbs that help you sleep well, like wild lettuce is a good one, and some others that are very good. If I could think of them all right now, some people really take melatonin. You know, that's not an herb, but it's a hormone, and supposedly you could take as much melatonin as you want. What I read Dr. McCullough saying, and another doctor, Dr. Schallenberger, and it's supposedly it's a youth renovator and help prevent cancer, and some people take it like a 1,000 milligrams a day, or is it micrograms a day or something? I don't know. Anyway, I'm just saying there are a lot of things that are natural that you could take to help you sleep better. If that's if it's just a natural thing in your body, maybe you're getting too much sugar during the day, that'll keep you up. Too much caffeine during the day, that'll keep you up. So you got to look at the natural thing too. It's not everything is a demon. Sometimes you're doing something to yourself, and that's why you can't rest. Okay. Yeah. So wild lettuce, yes. Mm-hmm. But there are other things as well that may be better than that. But, yeah, I wouldn't eat any sugar after 5 o'clock at night. I don't do that. Anything sweet, I don't eat sugar anyway. White sugar is just like poison to your body anyway is what I understand. But I wouldn't have any sugar, after your supper meal, and I wouldn't really have much with your supper if you do. Have a big dessert, that can keep you up. You know, sugar will do it, and caffeine will do it. But hallelujah. Anyway, I think of some other things, yes, that valerian help you sleep, that's an herb, and valerian and so many different ones are just not coming to my mind right now because I'm in the middle of doing deliverance. But hallelujah. It could be tormented. Could be tormented over something. It could be demons too. And very likely a lot of people are tormented in their sleep. We've cast out sleepless spirits and anxiety at night and bad dreams and torment when you sleep, and a lot of different things there that are going on. So we just command these spirits to go as well in Jesus' name. Any mental torment at night when you're in your sleep, you come out of there, come out, nervousness or worry or anxiety about things going on and in your relationship, in your church, in your workplace. You know, these are things that cause people to stay up at night, or the loss of a loved one, that can cause people to be up at night. That is true. And there are just a number of things. So keep coming out of there, all the way out. All these things that are spirits, sleeplessness, you go in Jesus' name. Go. Keep going all the way out. Spirit of falsehood, spirit of lies, come out. Come out all the way out, all the way out. Go in Jesus' name, Keep coming out all the way out. All the way up out of there. Go. Keep moving out of there. Go. Accident prone spirits. Go. All the way out. Go. In Jesus' name. Compulsive thoughts of suicide or desiring to kill somebody. All those compulsive thoughts. That's a demon. Come out. A desire to use the Lord's name in vain. That spirit, you come out of there. Go. Wanting to say the Lord's name in vain and take the Lord's name in vain and blaspheme. Those are spirits. You come out of there right now. Go. Something tells you to say things like that and think things like that. It's causing you to think things like that. You come out of there right now. Come out of there. Blasphemy of the spirit. Go. All the way out of there. Come out. Go. spirit of loss, feeling a loss, something's missing from your life, or feeling like something's wrong all the time. Demons can make you feel that way, that you have a loss, you've lost something, come out. Come out of there, feeling that you have a loss of something, come out. Maybe you have lost something, but the demon is just tormenting you with a loss. Come out, a loss of a job, a loss of a loved one, a loss of a friend. Come out of there, come out, 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 all the way out, or a child that backslides, the loss of a child, come out. An adult child that backslides, they can feel a loss, a sense of loss. Come out, 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 all the way out. That spirit that tells you something's wrong, you're feeling something's wrong, you know there isn't anything wrong, but you just have a sense that something's wrong all the time. That's a spirit tormenting you with a something wrong spirit. You come out of there. Go, 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 and you just have that same plaguing you that something's wrong when there is nothing wrong, and you put everything in the hands of Jesus. This is a lying spirit. You come out of there, something wrong. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out, 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 out of there. Come out, come out, something wrong spirit. Go, 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 all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Well, it could be that person, because you haven't really forgiven her. And so there's something keeping you awake because you haven't forgiven that person and really given it to her, to God, and put her in the hand of God. If she doesn't go to jail, and it's not going to move you because you've given it all to God, see? And yes, she should go to jail, and she should, you know, pay for her crimes. She's not a Christian, and what she sowed, she shall reap. And that's the law for the world, because they're not under grace, and they can only receive grace by coming to Christ. So it's an eye for an eye for them, but not for people who live in grace. The people are living in grace and truth. That's a different story for us. Keep coming out of there. Keep coming out of there. But if you forgive her, you're going to be able to live with whatever happens, see? Whether she goes to jail or not, because you've given her to Jesus and you've forgiven her, and that thing is the past, and you've got to move on past her and all those feelings and torment when you go to court and she just gets off or whatever, because hey, if you really put her in the Lord's hand, she's in the Lord's hand, and it's not going to, whatever happens, happens, right? Whatever happens, happens. She's in God's hands, right? There's people I've had to put in God's hands that, you know, I felt, you know, I'd like God to do something with, but, you know, it just doesn't work that way. If you give it to Jesus and you forgive him, you let go of him, and you got to move on. And that's just life and the spirit, right? All right, keep coming out of there, all the way out. Every one of these spirits of bitterness and hatred toward people, keep coming out, 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 out of there. Go, 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 all the way. Prejudice spirits toward other races, come out, come out. Any prejudice spirits, come out, 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 all the way out. Come out, come out. Keep coming out, all the way out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus, all the way out. Compulsive desire, desire to tear other people down, to hurt other people. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. Desire to hurt someone, to speak evil to them, and to say bad things to them, and to hurt them. Come out. Come out. All those words, come out. All those desires, those spirits that are causing that, you come out of there right now. Causing you want to tear somebody down and destroy somebody with your words and cut them with your tongue and tear them up. Come out, 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 all the way, all those guilt, feelings of guilt, come out, tormented by guilt, come out, and condemnation, come out, 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 all the way out. Go in Jesus' name, all the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. All the way out, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Well, it's nice that she is reaping what she's sowing. I mean, that's nice that she's in jail and all that. I pray she gets saved. Pray she gets saved. In Jesus' name, yeah. That's what I would wish for all my enemies, that they would get saved, right? That they would serve God with all their hearts and come to repentance. And that would be the best thing that could happen. And they have to live with, you know, what they've done. And, you know, it's... not always easy for them to live with that stuff, but if they come to Jesus, they can get some relief. Keep coming out of there. Go, 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 go. Keep coming out, all the way out. Despondent spirit, despondency, you come out. Despondency, go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out. Spirit of despondency, come out. All the way out, all the way out. All the way out, in Jesus' name, go, 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 all the way out. Panic attacks, come out, panic attack, go, go, whether it be a fear panic attack or whether it be just a horror panic attack or a panic attack that you're not saved, all panic attack spirits, go, go, right now, move in Jesus' name. We break the curse of panic attacks, come out. Come out, 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 panic attacks, come out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus against you, demons, go, 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 all the way out, all the way up out of there, go, go, come out, 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 keep coming out. If you've had an accident or have been in a situation that is called trauma, you come out of there, all that trauma, all the way out, all the way out, come out, come out, come out, come all the way up out of there, go right now, trauma spirit, you come out of there, go right now, keep coming out, the trauma, right now, the trauma of an accident, in Jesus' name, go, the trauma, some people are so traumatized by car accidents or by other type of accidents that they have that, you know, they don't even realize they carry their spirit. A spirit is waiting to jump right in there when they have an accident, and so the spirit of trauma comes in and continues to be there for the next time they cause something to happen. All that trauma, you come out of there, and it could be relationship problems of trauma of relationships. It could be an accident at work or in the life, the general, life in general, whatever. It could be a relationship with somebody. It could be at work, something traumatic happened. It could be someone else getting hurt or dying or whatever. Come out of there, all trauma, come out, all trauma, emotional trauma, come out, all the way out. Trauma can keep people awake at night too, trauma can. Keep coming out of there, all the way out, go, all that trauma. We break the curse of trauma in Jesus' name, go, 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 out, 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 out of there, all the way out. Father, we seal this deliverance to the people who've received. We thank you for the time that we've had at the Word, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the Lord, the grace of God in our lives, and that, Lord, you help people to keep the deliverance that they give here in Jesus' name and walk it out and grow stronger because of it. In Jesus' name, we thank you.
I'll be there.
Amen. Oh, I feel his presence. Thank you, Lord. He is Lord. He is God. And it's good to sit in his presence, lifting up holy hands unto the Lord. I lift my hands up to you, Jesus. I praise you, worship you, honor you, glorify you for the good work you're doing in all of our lives, Lord. I'm so grateful. So grateful. Thank you, Lord. Let us never lose the sensitivity to your spirit that we can be dealt with when we need to be dealt with. Each one of us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, we need to be tender, stay tender all our lives where God can deal with us however he wants to. You know, that's important. Because we belong to him, so we might as well get used to being his own. We are his. I am his and he is mine. That's the neat thing, that he can be mine too. We can be, I don't know how quite that works, but we, you know, he said we are his and he is ours. We're one spirit with the Lord, and that's wonderful. But you know, he's not the Lord of the flesh. He's the Lord of the spirit, and that flesh can get in the way sometimes, and we just have to crucify it, put it to death. Amen. Says. It's not something I want to manifest. I want the Holy Spirit to manifest and the fruit of the Spirit. How about you? Yeah, more of the Spirit of God. More of the Spirit of God. That's what we want living through us. Remember, we manifest love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Against such there is no law. There's nothing against that. That's God. That's his nature in manifestation when it lives through us, when those things manifest through us. That's the nature of God manifesting through us. Forgiveness is a manifestation of God living through us because, you know, apart from God, we'd be out there bitter like the world. A lot of the world, they can't forgive. They can't let go of anything. It eats them up. So we don't want to be like that. We want to have the Spirit of God ruling and reigning in our lives, don't we? I do anyway. I hope that's your desire also. We are in his presence if we want to be. You could just decide to get in it and enjoy it. Thank you, Lord. I enjoy your presence. I enjoy it. I enjoy your goodness. I enjoy it right now. It's good. God is good. He doesn't beat us down. The devil beats us down. And we let our flesh with the devil in it beat us down sometimes, but God doesn't beat you down. He builds you up. In fact, praying in tongues edifies you. It builds you up when you pray in the Spirit, right? So if you pray in tongues, you're building yourself up in your most holy faith. You said he has to go. Some fatality. What happened there? Someone die? He's in law enforcement of some kind there, so I understand that he has to go. All right. Well, anyway, I'm going to go too. I guess it's time to say goodnight. And if you just get in the quiet, enjoy his presence. It's good. God, because God is good, right? He's not bad. There's no bad or evil in him. God is good. Good night to all of you, and I pray you have a blessed weekend. and that you seek the Lord, and that he will be good to you. I know he will, because he is good. All right. May you celebrate him in his presence. We will see you next Friday. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's lift up the Lord's name today and praise him every moment. Hallelujah, the evening. Let's just remember to put up the high praises up to God. Praise you, Lord God Almighty. Praise you, Lord God Almighty. Praise you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We worship you. Thank you for turning certain situations around in our lives. And thank you for, Lord, just showing up in our lives in a mighty way, Father. Thank you for saving loved ones. Thank you for working things out that we all are dealing with, whatever it may be, Lord, the things that we deal with. Thank you for working out. Thank you for showing up in the midst of it, Lord, and getting all the glory for it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we glorify you. Amen. All right. Well, good night. I'm going to say good night now, really, this time. All right. Good night, folks. Love you all. Bye.